T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bigs time. Bigs with Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're sitting here talking about the Bears and the Cowboys and the big game tonight. And obviously, you know, the thing that comes to mind is, why are both these teams 6-6? Why aren't they better? Are they as disappointing as any teams in the NFL? Because I think both teams came out expecting to be in Super Bowl talk, and neither team is. And it would seem that Dallas has figured out their problem. They're going to fire their coach. I think that's fairly apparent, barring a unexpected trip to the Super Bowl. But the Bears haven't really figured out their problem, have they? And are they going to do something about their problem? That may be the question we have after this game is over.
Yeah, and that's a burning question, and one we're not going to get an answer to probably until we're some ways into the off-season program. They're certainly two of the most disappointing teams to this point in the NFL. Both of them have a chance to sort of change the narrative of their season. I would not leave out the Philadelphia Eagles in a discussion of disappointing teams. The Rams probably belong in there somewhere, although they're actually above 500 at 7-5. So, you know, where do they go from here? And they both got off to good starts. The Cowboys started 3-0. The Bears were, 3-1? And it's been a series of inconsistencies and disappointments since. What's interesting about the Cowboys is they statistically, and this is why, you know, coaches will often tell you that they don't put a lot of stock in the numbers, is statistically Dallas ranks really well on both sides of the ball. You know, if you're just looking at the numbers, their biggest problem is the kicker, Brett Maher, who I believe it's 5-for-12 on kicks from 40 yards and further on out. So they've found some unique and interesting ways to lose, yet they come in still ahead of the Eagles in the NFC East and in position to not only make the playoffs, but have a home game during the wild card round by virtue of winning the division.
Brad, you check in this morning in the Tribune. You talk about how the Bears' defense faces Dak Prescott tonight, the first of four major challenges this month in terms of quarterbacks. He's the NFL's leading passer. Prince Mukamura, doubtful, which even if he does play, he's going to be compromised. How big of an impact will that have on the Bears' defense, and how quickly before they attack that if you're the Cowboys?
Well, I would think if you're the Cowboys, you're going to want to take a look at Kevin Tolliver right away. And I expect Tolliver starts if Amukamara cannot play. Tolliver with one career start last year against the Dolphins, an undrafted free agent from LSU a year ago, because the Cowboys have the type of personnel that can really challenge you in the secondary anywhere, with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup at wide receiver, and then Randall Cobb work in the slot. You know, the Cowboys had a pretty good slot receiver in Dallas for a couple of years in Cole Beasley, and they went out and spent some money and upgraded with a guy like Cobb, who we've seen for years make plays for the Packers. So that's going to present a real challenge for the Bears in the secondary, And if Dallas wants to, they ought to be able to, you know, go Tolliver's way pretty quickly. It'll be interesting to see what defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano, who, you know, broke into the business as a secondary coach, has to potentially help his guy out a little bit. But the more you help out one guy, the more guys are, you know, one-on-one elsewhere.
What is it about tight ends that have been a problem for the Bears on both sides of the line?
Yeah, well, their tight end problem is their top two haven't been able to stay healthy, and when Shaheen was healthy, he did next to nothing. Although, I tell you what, I'm intrigued by Jesper Horsted. You know, if you go back and see what he did in preseason, I'm not just talking about a guy going out there and making catches. You watch the plays he made, and they were some athletic plays, okay? It wasn't, hey, this guy's wide open, the quarterback got him the ball. You know, he made some contested catches. That's certainly how you would describe his touchdown against the Lions last Thursday. 18, you know, heck, he was in the end zone, so it's more than 18 yards downfield. When's the last time Adam Shaheen made a play like that? And they're a little bit different because Shaheen's more of an inline blocker and Horsted's more of the wide tight end for them. But he might have a future for this football team helping the offense out. I don't know. Now, somebody asked me this week, what's the ceiling for him? And I'm like, gosh, he was a wide receiver at Princeton. Let's not put any limitations on him right now. Let's just learn more and see what he can do. But, you know, yeah. So they've struggled getting the ball to the tight end. And then defending the tight end, I don't think it's been atrocious. You know, when they want to, they can be pretty good matching up on tight ends with those inside linebackers.
You know, Brad, you mentioned Horsted. That's interesting, your opinion of him. I kind of had the same reaction to watching him against the Lions. A lot of it depends on how the Bears develop their own players and young players. And I think you had an interesting question this week in your mailbag again. It's like, who on the Bears, in your opinion, has improved this year?
Right, because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, right?
Right.
that's the saying that the coaches use. And they've got some guys that have gotten better. The problem they have is that when they kicked off the season, if you said, hey, who do you want to see most improve this season? Who can help the Bears the most if they make the biggest improvement this year? It would be the quarterback, and the quarterback hasn't improved. I think over the course of the entire season, the quarterback's regressed. Better last week against the Lions, sure, but take into account all 12 games and not good for Mitch Trubisky. But, you know, they've got guys that have improved. David Montgomery's certainly a much better player than he was at the beginning of the season, when you just watch how he's more decisive running the ball, not waiting for this hole to open up. You know, sometimes you can't wait for daylight in the NFL. You gotta hit the crease knowing that, or trusting that it's going to be there by the time you get there with the ball, that type of thing. So he's gotten better. The last couple weeks, I think we've seen an improvement from Roquan Smith. There's no question Pat O'Donnell, and you don't want to spend too much time talking about the punter, but Pat O'Donnell's gotten better each and every year in his career. So they've got a handful of guys. Roy Robertson Harris, I think, has handled a bigger role. And certainly Nick Kwiatkowski has improved to the point that I think someone could pay him to be a starter for them in March, and certainly there's a chance that team could be the Bears.
Maybe Anthony Miller in the last few games.
Yeah.
I think he's had six
catches.
Yeah,
he's another guy to...
So, but,
right.
But, I mean, I just don't know how to read that. And will we have a better feel for, you know, listen, the guy made the catches, but there were some double catches. There were some things going on that make you wonder about the opponent as much as the player. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's why I think, well, these final four games are a huge challenge for the defense. And we talk about this defense versus Vic's defense a year ago. The Bears are actually allowing fewer points per game this year than they did through all of last year. That's very close. And that could be skewed in a matter of a week or two And when you look at these opponents coming up, this is a real challenge. By the time January arrives, I don't think anybody's going to be talking about the Bears beating David Blau and Danny Dimes and Jeff Driscoll back in the third quarter of the season. They're going to be talking about what happened down the stretch against the Vikings, against the Chiefs, Packers, and tonight's game against the Cowboys. So if the Bears want to have a chance to be in the discussion, to be competitive to the end, I think really going to have to carry this football team, because I don't think it's realistic at this point to expect the offense to be able to, you know, win a 35-31 game against one of these upcoming opponents.
Brad, I think about the Cowboy defense, as good as it is, it has been susceptible to quarterbacks that run the football. Jeff Driscoll, you mentioned him. He had 50 yards rushing. Josh Allen had 43. Can they scheme that into the game plan tonight? Can you just talk to Mitch about a point of emphasis? How can the Bears take advantage of that?
Yeah, I think it's more of a point of emphasis type thing. And what the Cowboys have is a wealth of talent on the defensive line. So they've got four guys, and the guys that they rotate in behind them, they're all penetrators. I mean, it's like Rod Marinelli's dream with the Cowboys. They can all get up the field and wreak havoc in the backfield. So when a guy wins his one-on-one battle against the offensive lineman and gets up the field, that creates a natural running lane. And Mitch has only run for 80 yards over the course of the entire season. I don't think he's had a game with 25 yards rushing, or maybe even 20. He had like 13 of those his rookie season and a year ago, when he was much more apt to pull the ball down and take off. And so, to me, that's a way to pick up some really valuable yardage in tonight's game against a defensive line that could certainly challenge the Bears' offensive line. The Bears' O-line played well last week in Detroit. As they say in horse racing, it's a step up in class this week against the Cowboys. And so if Mitch could go out there and run for 45, 50 yards, picking up, you know, what, two, three first downs in the process, that would be huge. That could keep multiple drives alive against a defense that otherwise is going to create some real challenges for him.
All right, Brad, this is it. Here it comes. Who's going to win the game? Can you give us, staying with your horse racing analogy, can you give us a little trip handicap? Who gets out in front? Who comes from behind? How do you see this game tonight breaking down? Is Jason Garrett fired at halftime? What happens?
I almost want to go straight to the Cowboys locker room, like, no matter what happens, just for the Jerry Jones entertainment, you know? I mean, think about George McCaskey giving a State of the Bears
every week
address after every game.
Every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be top notch. Yeah. I mean, they could sell tickets to that type of event. So, yeah, how's Jerry going to feel tonight after the game? I don't know. I have a feeling the Cowboys are going to leave relatively satisfied. I just think they've got, I know they've got more playmakers on the offense, and they've got the kind of guys on defense that could really, like I said, challenge the Bears up front on that offensive line. You know, I think the Bears are going to have to try to run it, but you wonder how they're going to be able to pull that off. Do they use Holtz as a fullback, or do they put him at tight end, where he's probably their best guy that can help them in the run game? They don't have another, you know, super capable blocking tight end right now, unless they take the converted offensive lineman Bradley Sole and put him out there. He's barely played this year. So I think Dallas wins this game. I picked 20-14. If the Bears struggle with some of the pressure that the Cowboys can create, it could be more lopsided than that.
All righty, Bigsy. Thank
you,
buddy.
Brad. See you tonight.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. And, yeah, interesting.
14 points he's got the Bears scoring. And I had him scoring 17. They're in the teens too often.
I had him 13.
You know, if they get into the 20s, it's going to be Probably because a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown.
If they can get over 21 points, I think they can win the game.
Because as he pointed out, this defense, when you look at the scoring average, they're as good as they were last year.
I can
despite everything.
You. So they got Jason Witten starting at tight end, right? Bigsy likes this guy from Princeton, thinks he's intriguing. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, there's talk about the Patriots desperately trying to get Gronk to come back. That didn't happen. But Jason Witten did come back. Does that mean that there's just a shortage of those guys? Does that mean it's an impossible position to fill?
Are you telling me Desmond Clark was working out at the health club? You're starting to wonder about bringing back old tight ends?
Jesper Horsteads don't grow on trees.
That's my point. You gotta really go find a basketball player and try to convert them or whatever.
Or have a free agent pay off, because Trey Burton not being able to produce this year was one of the major disappointments of this offense.
312-644-6767 is the number. Let's talk about it. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
When I look at coaching, and this stuff is the head coach, I look at all coaches, I think about there's no exclusive. Nobody's got the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl. But they're qualified people. Jason Garrett is one of them. In my opinion, Jason Garrett would be coaching in the NFL next year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That's not even the dreaded vote of confidence. I don't know what that is. That is saying that he likes the guy as a coach, just maybe not as a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's suggesting that if the Cowboys are down 17-0 at halftime tonight, Jason Garrett might need a ride back or a flight back to Dallas.
Launching?
Not good. Not good. And that's why you see things all week around the Cowboys. And Troy Aikman in town tonight to do the game, obviously. But he is as respected of an analyst and certainly in Cowboys and in Dallas as they come as far as an expert about the Cowboys. And he said that in a very long comment and statement yesterday while he was receiving the Heart of Dallas Award by the Dallas Influencers in Sports and Entertainment, that Jerry Jones runs the Cowboys to the detriment of the team. To the detriment of the team. And I think that, you know, he wasn't necessarily saying that Jason Garrett deserved to be back. He was very careful not to go too far in his praise of a guy who likely will be moving on. But when you have, you know, that kind of underscores the turmoil and the dysfunction that the Cowboys are experiencing as they come here tonight.
It is a long comment. It's worth reading. He said, "I think Jason's a heck of a football coach. He's done a really nice job in Dallas. I think this is a really hard job. It's probably the hardest job in football. It goes beyond just the playing field and what all has to be managed in order to give your team a chance to have success. I think he's done it as well as anybody. At some point, whether you're in Dallas or anywhere else, I think there comes a time, unless you're Bill Belichick in New England, and it's time for a change. Now, the story hasn't been fully written. A lot could happen. They're still in the hunt, and I would not be surprised if they did get on a run. I think they're talented enough to do it. I think they have the right kind of people. But, you know, whatever happens down the road, I'm not worried about Jason Garrett. He'll be just fine. I think he's proven the quality of person he is, as also the way that he is as a head coach. Now, think about this. Jerry has had two Hall of Fame coaches there. He's had Jimmy and he's had Parcells, right? And they're still struggling to succeed at different points. You know, the problem with Jimmy was, I don't think that Jerry ever understood how much Jimmy did, how much putting the team together, how difficult that is. So Jerry is serving as the general manager himself now. And what happened with Jimmy Johnson when he came into the NFL was pretty unbelievable. They had gone out at Miami, and we've talked to Dave about this. They had recruited every guy in the nation. So when it came to collecting draft picks and then going and getting a team, they knew all the guys that they had, and they knew all the guys that they had recruited. And they knew players better than anybody going into a draft. So they had these unbelievable drafts, and they produced this great talent. And Troy Aikman was already there when he got there.
Yeah, and in the context of this season, I think he's right about after a decade anywhere. I think unless you're Bill Belichick, unless you are one of those legendary coaches, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, somebody like that, then everybody kind of understands that maybe a change for the sake of change would benefit everybody. And maybe Jason Garrett agrees with this assessment. I don't know. Look, the Cowboys are going to get to the playoffs. They're going to win that division. It'd be hard for them to look at their schedule. I mean, it's possible.
Well, they could lose to Philadelphia.
They could. Yeah. I mean, but they have an opportunity that's greater than the Bears to get to the playoffs as the two teams sitting there tonight. But they could fire him anyway. And I think Jay Glazer wasn't one who reported that, Jason Garrett's going to be fired unless they win the Super Bowl. And yesterday, Ron Rivera's on with McNeil and Parkins, and he's a guy whose name will come up when you talk about coaching vacancies. The Cowboys speculation will be Sean Payton, Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer. These are the kinds of things, these are the kind of names that you, when you're talking about the Cowboys, that's the kind of what you're dealing with, the scrutiny, the speculation. That's a football market. You got to learn with that, live with that reality.
And to continue with Troy, the quote, because this the headline says, Troy Aikman puts Jerry Jones on blast. The way he runs the Dallas Cowboys is, quote, to the detriment of the team. Here's what he says. He says he's talking again about Jason Garrett. There's a lot to this job. There's a lot you have to overcome. It's not run traditionally the way most organizations are. I think that's to the detriment of the Cowboys. You can't look at three playoff wins over the last 25 years and surmise that all the problems over that time have been the result of coaching. I think you have to look at the top and say, how are we doing it from the top? I think businesses do that. I think organizations, I think anyone worth their salt evaluated from the top down and just simply changing the coaching. I don't know that the results would be all that much different. So he's blasting Jerry, but never by name and more about
everybody in Dallas knows.
Of course.
Because, look, he owns a team. He can do whatever he wants. But having a weekly press conference is not productive. If you're the owner of any professional sports, entity, I just think that it's fascinating for us. It provides terrific fodder for, sports talk radio and all the talk shows. And we'll talk to Sean and RJ from Dallas's 105.3 The Fan at 8:20 about what it's like down there in that environment.
Well, I hope it doesn't get ugly, that conversation.
I hope it doesn't get ugly.
Because I got a feeling you're going to start insulting people from Dallas.
I was hoping that it would get very ugly.
That's the problem.
I'm going to start hurling insults.
I think everyone feels that way.
That's the way I roll.
That is how and I'm offended.
Why would you, if you own a team, feel compelled to have to speak every week? His ego, he can't get out of his own way. That's what I think Aikman is alluding to, and it's been too long, too much of the same too long. And they've gone, it does start at the top. We talk in Chicago all the time. People want to rip the McCaskies and the organization and the Bears. Well, in Dallas, it's a much different personality.
Jimmy Johnson built a team so good in Dallas that he and Jerry had this issue. Jerry, Jimmy ends up getting fired. And Jerry hires Barry Switzer just because he was a nemesis for Jimmy. No other reason. And they win a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, but all of Jimmy's players. He did it just to show Jimmy up, who was the guy that put the team together. So now that he's the guy trying to put the team together, it's turned into a train wreck. And they've got talent. But he's hiring the coaches.
The irony is that they do have a talented roster that, again, if you had to take the Bears or the Cowboys roster tonight, you'd lean toward the Cowboys because of their offensive weaponry. And I think because of the quarterback especially. But they can't get over the top for whatever reason. Now, in Dallas, they think it's because of the coach. They don't think it's because of the way the team was built necessarily.
Oh, they found the solution to their problem. It's fire Jason Garrett. That's at least that's what is out there, right? Now, I don't know if that really is the solution to their problem, but that seems to be the way it's going.
I mean, Jerry Jones, talk about an egomaniac. I mean, all credit to him for building, you know, what was he, an oil man? That's how he made all of his money. And,
yep.
You know, fair hey, play listen. To him. But what the hell does he know about building a football team?
Well, I'll tell you what. He came into the league, and he was this kind of – they laughed at him. And now and what he's done is he's taken, like, every inch of that stadium, and he's turned it into profit, and he's built Jerry's World and all the rest of it. And now – he's one of the most influential owners, and everybody follows after him and tries to do the same thing. And it's not just in football. It's in every sport. He has had a massive impact as a businessman on the NFL.
No question.
It's his job as personnel boss.
And he's still the second most interesting sports owner in Dallas.
You prefer Mark Cuban?
I think he's a pretty – Mark Cuban's pretty interesting guy.
I think I know why you like Mark Cuban.
Well, I like Mark Cuban because –
I like Mark Cuban, too.
I don't like everything about Mark Cuban, but I do think he's very – he's an interesting guy.
He's my second favorite shark on the Shark Tank.
Who's your favorite shark?
Kevin, of course, Mr. Wonderful.
Oh.
Yeah. No, they're all good. I like the
show. Speaking of Mr. Wonderful, Kevin.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like the successor to that. I got better hair.
And it keeps your defense, so it prevents you from setting up your punt return because you got your defensive lineman on the field.
All right, O'Donnell puts a foot on it, and Jenkins going to let it bounce, and it will go all the way to the one where it is saved by Patterson. What a play by Cordero Patterson.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7, The Score, one of many great special teams plays against the Giants on the 24th, and of course, we saw him win an award today.
Yes, he's breaking
the
news.
Special
the Bears,
Teams Player of the Month.
Cordero Patterson, the first time that's happened, the Special Teams Player of the Month for the Bears since Devin Hester in 2011. It's been a long time. And
guy's going to the Pro Bowl without a doubt.
I think he could say that. He's number one in the NFC and second in the NFL in kick returns. His average is 30.9. He had that big one against the Lions that kind of got overlooked. 57-yarder opening kick, and it shortened the field. It's the kind of play that tonight can make a big impact. If you're able to do something like that, and against the Giants, the highlight we heard, that was a pivotal play. He has been instrumental on the special teams. I think we both have been a little surprised that he hasn't been a bigger factor with the offense.
Well, I said it before the season began that if you look at the players that they added, the one thing that they added that they didn't have before was Cordero Patterson. In other words, a lot of their free agent work was replacing people that they had let go or that had signed elsewhere, whether it be the safety, whether it be the nickels, whether it be the kicker. And the one thing they brought in that was different than what they had was Cordero Patterson. And he was used in a lot of interesting ways when he was in New England, including running the ball. And you look at a guy his size and with his speed, and I get it. You know, he was a first-round draft pick up in Minnesota, and they didn't feel his hands were good enough. He was a deep threat who wasn't catching the ball on deep passes, and that's why his time ran out there. So maybe there's an issue with his hands that we don't know about, that the Bears don't talk about, but I am honestly surprised that he has not been more of an impact on their attack.
He hasn't carried the ball since the Chargers game, and he had that big play against the Broncos, if you remember going back way back to week two, when they had the toss sweep to him really quick, and he got around the left edge, and he was dangerous, and he is dangerous. Surprising he hasn't been more part of the offense in terms of giving him the ball and letting him try to run it on the jet sweep. Also, I was a little surprised that we talked a little bit about the disappointment that Trey Burton has been this season because of injury, because of just lack of productivity. He's on an injured reserve. I thought that there was a possibility that Cordero Patterson could have stepped in and been that guy in that role.
Well, I mean, think about it, David. Like, Trey Burton goes down, right? And he's of no impact this season. Adam Shaheen, your second-round draft pick, nothing out of him. So you're down to your third tight end. Ben Broniker's got an issue. You still haven't figured out a way to get Cordero Patterson, as you say, I mean, wouldn't he be a matchup nightmare
you would think,
for a linebacker?
And yet he doesn't have a carry or a reception since, I mean, he caught a pass against the Eagles for 5 yards. That was the last time he's caught a pass. Special teams, they're very important. Special teams is why he's in the league. He had 102-yard, you know, kickoff return, and that where he was not going to get tackled. This guy is dangerous.
He's unbelievable.
But, you know, he looks so dangerous in special teams in the return game that you think there's got to be a way, as inventive as Matt Nagy can, you know, is supposed to be offensively, to incorporate him into the game plan for an offense that isn't scoring into the 20s. That's what's baffling about this whole thing.
A potential weapon, but a weapon nonetheless that's unused. When you have weapons that, you know, you thought you were going to have, like Trey Burton, that you don't have, I don't get it. And it's not like you're spoiled for choice, right? I mean, you got Taylor Gabriel out as well.
When everybody's happy,
the
challenge is getting when everybody's healthy, the challenge is keeping everybody happy.
But not everyone's healthy.
Not everybody's healthy. Taylor Gabriel is going to, you know, he's out. Trey Burton's out. Shaheen is gone. And in that sort of void, that's where you've seen Anthony Miller step up. And I think the fact that he has been more productive the last couple of weeks has been what everyone has been waiting for out of him. So he has been a guy that, as we talked with Brad Biggs about, you know, what players have improved on this roster. Anthony Miller in this offense has been a guy that has done that because he's maybe paying a little more attention to detail than he had earlier in the season.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Rob has waited patiently on the road. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, first of all, thanks for taking me to work every morning.
Bless you.
Two points with the Bears. One, my wife asked me this morning how I thought they were going to do tonight. And I said, well, you know, based on talent, they should get crushed. But they're both 6-6, and it hit me that that the Dallas Cowboys are the Chicago Cubs this year. And a lot of teams won games against the Cubs that maybe they shouldn't have because the Cubs underachieved. And there's a lot of similarities. Take it right down to most of the way through the season, you have leadership of the club kind of faintly hinting that it's the coach's fault. I just see some really remarkable similarities between the two experiences. So maybe the Bears have a shot tonight. But the question I have for you is, as the leader of the team, I see Matt Nagy staring at a plastic card most of the time he's on camera. And so the question is, can you effectively lead if you're always looking at the script? The first time I thought about that was with the Raiders game. And everybody watching on TV knew Kyle Long needed to come out of that game in the second quarter. But the guy that could pull that trigger was staring at a plastic card and not actually watching what was happening with his team. Your thoughts?
It's interesting.
Good observation. You know, bad optics all the way around. I mean, when you're scoring points and winning games, a head coach who's a play caller staring at his play sheet is considered genius, and he's wrapped up in his own thoughts, and this is why he's calling the game that he's calling and keeping everybody guessing. When the Bears are one of the most underachieving teams in the league, and you have a head coach staring at his play sheet and the defense, you know, making mistakes and penalties and late substitutions, then it looks like a guy who's out of touch with his team.
You know, I got to be careful talking about Matt Nagy because I have been critical of him for the very reason that Rob is talking about, which is far too often it feels like he is only concerned with his script, only concerned with his offense. And frankly, pretty unaware when a problem comes up on special teams or on defense because he has limited his own sort of perception of the game to the things that he feels that he can control. And you wonder, is that really being a head coach? Because sometimes you feel like he's not as knowledgeable or concerned with other areas of the team, and that's to his detriment. When you hear him say that, you know, Cordero Patterson's touchdown return is great, but man, if we could get that on offense, that could be, you know, that's what we're after, getting these plays. Like, really? I mean, you're desperate for points. Get them any way you can. be delighted. Don't worry about what your offense is doing. Worry about what your team's doing.
Well, I think it's interesting because we have two coaches tonight who have their jobs by virtue of them being, you know, excellent at the offensive X's and O's. And because of their ability to diagram plays and to put together game plans. And, you know, Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator, ascended to be a head coach.
Yep.
Matt Nagy, same deal. We heard from a coach yesterday, Ron Rivera, who doesn't, I mean, his background was in defense, but he's not, yep. He was not a head coach for as long as he was in Carolina because of, he was calling defensive signals and he was, has defensive game plans. He was because of his leadership, because of the way that he was, he managed a team, because of the way that he connected with 53 guys in that locker room. That's not to say the guys who were offensive, you know, wizards can't do that, but I think that's the challenge. And that's the perception that they have to overcome, is that they're not able to do that. And when you're 6-6 and both coaches tonight are, then you're going to question their leadership ability. You're going to question their awareness. You're going to question their ability to make in-game decisions that matter, because all you see on television, frankly, too often is Matt Nagy stuck in his play sheet, staring at the, you know, plays, and all you can read is BU. And you'd like him at that moment to be Bill Belichick, and he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think Belichick is obviously the standard that everybody holds up and everybody looks at. And I think that is obviously the exception to the rule. And when you think about all the guys that have been on his staff that have gone elsewhere and failed, it's because, really, they have tried to be Bill Belichick. And you can't do that. There's only one of those. And certainly that's what's happened with Matt Patricia, who has refused to call defenses or do anything because he wants to be the head coach and take part in everything. But there's got to be sort of a better overseer of every other aspect. And I think far too often we've heard the Bears tell us that their communication process is fantastic. And, oh, everybody knows what's going on. And it often feels like they're coming up with an excuse to explain something where the communication broke down. When someone's telling you how we all talk about it and everybody's on the same page, that's because they've had a problem and they've got to kind of make up a, oh no, our process. I'm not going to get into it because of course that there's a competitive advantage, but believe me, our process is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick is on a level all on his own.
Yes.
But, you know, you look at the next tier, you know, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, you know, John Harbaugh, any of these guys,
sure,
on that next tier, you'd never hear them say, well, I'm going to leave that to Tabes or I'm going to leave that to Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to defer to the special teams coach or the defensive coordinator because they are the head coach of the team. And to your point, Matt Nagy just seems like he's the offensive coordinator. This is like a three-headed leadership committee type.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's fair, but I think it's just as fair to point out that when he took the job, he inherited Vic Fangio. And I think that when he, right, learned to become a head coach, his default mechanism is to say, okay, I have this guy who is the head coach / defense. And that worked last year. So when you hire somebody in Chuck Pagano, who's also a former head coach, stepping into a role that you've defined as being the head coach of a defense, That's the operation, the way that it worked last year. They're trying to duplicate that this year. So
but frankly,
I understand that.
The difference from one year to the next is, I think, that the quality of the opponent has changed his ability to succeed as an offensive coordinator. So if we really look at where the Bears' problems are, and you can blame the quarterback all you want, but there's been no growth out of that position, and there's been no growth in that offense, maybe because of that position, I don't know, but it took him an awful long time to figure out what this guy can do and can't do, the quarterback.
So I agree with that.
So the offensive coordinator has kind of been a problem.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that to me, though, the bigger problem with Matt Nagy, even though I question some of his fourth down decisions and his kicking, you know, things and that kind of the head coaching aspect,
yeah,
I have a bigger problem with the way he's called games.
Yeah.
So I have a bigger problem with him, Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator,
that's
than,
right,
I do Matt Nagy, the head coach.
That's a great way of saying it, David. I completely agree with that. I mean, believe me, when they're passing up, when they're going on 4th and 8 because they won't try a field goal, that makes you wonder why the hell's that guy on the roster, yeah, the kicker.
And because frankly, I don't want him that having that much impact in my defense if Chuck Pagano is my defensive coordinator. Because it's not his background, it's not his expertise. Do what you do well. Be you, but be you better. Be a better you.
I like it. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.